Hey, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, ever striving to be fact-based, open to divergent perspectives, and always actively optimistic. Today, we're going to be talking again with Tim Smith. He's a community activist in South Tacoma, and much beyond that. He's a powerful voice, along with other folks who have a vision for a vibrant future for their neighborhood. And this, I think, is an important distinction. They aren't fighting back. They are fighting forward. Tim is going to be talking about that vision today, a vision where the environment of South Tacoma is protected and greened into the future, a place that's healthy and happy to live in with clean air and water, with good jobs that make the environment better, healthier, with community needs met. And my main takeaway is that what the folks in South Tacoma are doing serves as a model for those of us concerned about climate in particular and environment in general. Shows us how we can work to actually change things, even though big money and big political forces throw up barrier after barrier. So here we go. Tim Smith, welcome back to Climate Talk.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
So let's start off just by briefest 30,000 foot view. What's changed since we talked last time in mid-June with the South Tacoma Warehouse Project?
Well, as part of the overall effort going on in South Tacoma, there's more than just, I mean, there's two warehouse projects in South Tacoma that we're interested in working on, the new cold storage warehouse project, as well as the planning and development for Bridge Industries. So that is part of the much larger effort that's ongoing in South Tacoma to protect the groundwater. And so while it's we have focused on the warehouse, Bridge Industries warehouse in the past, I think we've come to grips with that and put it in its place where it can be. But we need to get back to the reason why we're opposed to the warehouse project. And that is the updating of the South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District Code, as well as the development of an economic green zone where something like those two warehouses could exist, but not in a way that's harmful to the planet, harmful to the people, and harmful to the creatures that live in that area. So the warehouse project, we're still waiting for a decision. The city's still doing what they need to do. There's a lot of back and forth going right now to obtain key records and documents that further understand that process. And when I get those, I'll be happy to come back and talk to you about what secrets we have found. They are out there. We will find them. The secrets are out there.
All right.
But most importantly is all the exciting stuff that's happening with the Groundwater Protection District and the Economic Green Zone.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that the vision may be triggered by this proposed Bridge Industries project. The vision is expanded to what do we want?
It's just the opposite. The vision existed for protecting the groundwater and creating the economic green zone. And when I think we could prove this, when they found out that that's what they were going to do, they dropped their permit for Bridge Industries because they knew we would succeed. They knew that we were going to be able to accomplish what I think we're going to accomplish. So their dropping of the permit and the development of the vision and idea for updating the groundwater code and economic green zone started long before we found out about Bridge Industry. We started the project to update the code in the spring of 2021. We didn't find out about Bridge Industries until February of 2022. So we were well on the way to solving the vision, and then the system decided to put its foot in the door. So we pushed that foot really, really hard, and they're still stuck in the door.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, so the vision was there, and
process was working. That was working long before Bridge ever came to anybody's attention. We were by the time we find out about Bridge Industries, we had already moved our vision all the way through the Planning Commission for final vote to go to the City Council, then the warehouse. So that's what nobody... That is a big problem. I didn't mean to interrupt you, John. It's happening. There are people that think that we want clean water and we're fighting this issue for an economic zone to somehow be fighting the warehouse. We're not. That's not it at all. The warehouse got in the way of the vision and the idea for creating a green economic zone and wanting fresh water.
So a real quick clarification on terminology. No, you're good. On terminology, you say dropped the permit or the permit dropped. When you say dropped, what do you mean?
That's dropped is a visualization of the Bridge Industries developer dropping a packet in an inbox at the Planning Commission. There's the secretary's desk plopping. Here's the permit application. That's what I mean by that.
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you for that.
So they gave it to the city.
Yeah, so Bridge Industries. So if I understand correctly, then what you're saying is Bridge Industries understood what was going on in South Tacoma with the Green Economic Zone and the Groundwater Protection District. And somehow or other, their decision to seek that permit was related to the knowledge of what was going on down there in South Tacoma politically. Is that right?
Oh, I believe so. And I think we have document requests into the city now. I think we will see that they were probably tipped off by the planning commissioner, the planning and development people in Tacoma. Say, if you're interested in this, we have some stuff on the shelf that we've already worked that we never did. You better get in right now because this stuff they're doing in South Tacoma is a serious thing. There's some really smart people running this, putting this forward. The residents are upset, and this is what they want done, and it's going to happen. So you need to get your permit in. That way you'll be vested.
Okay. So, yeah. So as they say in writing novels, the plot thickens.
Well, some of that is okay. I'm an intelligence technician. I did it for my country. I still do it. So let me be very clear about what I just asserted. I cannot prove any of that.
Okay.
I believe it. And I'm going to find out via resources from the city, the actual documents, not something off. Not made up rumor or conspiracy. We're going to find that out one way or the other. All right, John.
Sure, I understand. Okay, so we're in the stay tuned mode that one.
But the city can make a decision any day now about the Bridge Industries permit. I mean, there's nothing really stopping them. I'm expecting they'll do it probably more towards the end of the month or the beginning of August when everybody's on vacation.
Okay, well, that would be something like we expect for a tactic out of our system sometimes. So let's just review some terminology or some organizations and things like that here for a second. So you mentioned update to the Groundwater Protection District code. So what basically is that about?
In 1988, as part of a consent agreement with the Environmental Protection Agency for the cleanup of the South Tacoma Channel Superfund site, it was determined that there had to be some sort of overlay protective zoning done over the groundwater aquifer in South Tacoma. And so in accordance with the EPA's letter, the city of Tacoma, in conjunction with the Tacoma Pierce County, I don't know if Tacoma Pierce County Health Department existed in 1988. They might have. But anyway, it was agreed upon to develop a code to protect the groundwater, put it in the city code, and then put in punitive measures of enforcement for entities within the Groundwater Protection District that break the code, that don't get a permit, that or have a chemical spill or any of another variety of activities that were forbidden. And that became part of the city code. It's law. And so every permit, every planning that happens within that district has to consider the fact that overriding the whole district is the overlay that protects the groundwater. That is supposed to be, according to the code itself, not somebody's idea, updated periodically with best available science. It has not been done since 2016.
So what is this?
I think the first iPhone came out. Think about how much technology has changed.
Yeah.
Think about, Facebook wasn't really even off the ground in 2016. But so the point being, we have much better science now than we had then. So let us update the Groundwater Protection District code as required by the code. So what we did, rather than just protest and we need to update the code, we used the city's own legislative process and submitted a request to amend the city code by conducting an update of the Groundwater Protection District. By updating the code thoroughly and reviewing it with best science, we could then legally change the code and make it enforceable. Oftentimes the city passes a resolution saying, boy, we wish the sky was blue. And it has no effect on whether the sky is going to be blue or not. But they said they wanted it that way. An ordinance that changes code is lawful. It has to happen. It has to be monitored. So that is what we're talking about. But we want to update Title 13. Title 13 is the zoning code for the city, the Tacoma Municipal Code, for the specific element, which is distinct of the South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District. We have multiple types of codes in the city. We have ones for historic areas. We have ones for view restrictions. There's a whole, the Tacoma City Code, good Lord. It's like 700, just Insomniac's delight. If you really have insomnia out there, any problems sleeping, just start looking through the code. Just start the first page. It won't take you long. But anyway, and within that is the Groundwater Protection District.
Okay, got it. So let's talk about the Economic Green Zone for a second. So what is the Economic Green Zone?
Okay, the Economic Green Zone is taking the process of updating the Groundwater Protection District code. In order to do that, we have got to bring best science. We've got to bring all the relative agencies together. That would include Tacoma Water. That would include Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. That would include the State Department of Ecology. That would include the EPA. That includes Tacoma Environmental Services. There's a whole Tacoma Fire Department. All have to come to the table in order to update that code using best science and getting all the players that are both involved and responsible at the table. So while they're there, the idea is to then begin to sketch out taking something that is a restrictive, protective code at this point in time, okay? It's protective zoning, protecting the water. We still want to do that. We're not changing that aspect. But we also think that it's a way to leverage this area, which has a one wonderfully 260-acre undeveloped stretch of what should be heavy industry. And let's think about what sort of economically green activities do we want to allow into the facility, into the area, that have a productive capability, that have absolute performance-based standards to be able to locate there. We're already going to, there's a whole bunch of other things that cannot be there. So we want to take away this negative connotation of restrictions and exclusions and develop an economic green zone that doesn't exist anywhere else, that leverages the fact that if you're walking in there as a green business, a green industry, you're going to have a performance-based goal at one level of maybe producing more than you consume.
Yeah, so
there's ways to do that. The same kind of project, I'm going to take a warehouse and sort of transform it. What if that warehouse used already taken lumber or materials from destroyed buildings that would probably go in a landfill? What if they're reusing far beyond LEED standards, far beyond LEED standards? A reuse, a self-generating capability for their power supply, a reuse of any water that falls on their property, a way to, again, produce more than they consume, with offsets available for, say, the local resident. You know, all too often, businesses are enticed to come to an area. They get tax breaks. They get everything else because we want them to be there so bad. And the citizens then suffer. That is the inherent nature of the South Tacoma area now. It is already suffering medical health conditions based upon past industries. We want to bring industries and functions that are healthy for the local community. If you can't do that, you can't achieve that performance standard, then your offset is, are you helping out these people with their health bill? Are the residents, the persons most impacted by your non-performing industry, how are you offsetting them? Are you helping their utility bills? I mean, this is something that we can't do that. Yes, we could. Or you don't operate in the economic green zone. You have to produce more than you consume. So that's what the economic green zone is. So while all these same players are at the table and bringing the best science for all of this, we could then produce, well, what is okay? Is it okay to have, say, a hemp lumber manufacturing facility, some place that takes residue hemp plants, fiber, and turns them into, say, lumber? That's happening in like Tennessee, other states where they have a good hemp industry. And they're making a completely renewable, usable piece of lumber that doesn't need any kind of protect because it's hemp. It doesn't rot. So, yeah. So that's just one example of a performance-based industry in a properly sited facility that might meet standards to be in an economic green zone. Maybe there's a facility that will come in and reuse old clothing, remanufacture the old clothing, break it down. We always give our clothes to these donation firms. I don't mean to say anything bad about any of them anyway, but many of the large major corporate donation boxes then take that same material and it ends up in Africa in a giant pile. It's not like given to any, I mean, it's, we do a terrible job of producing trying to consume so much and producing a bunch of worthless crap. So the economic green zone is about something that's different. The thing that bothers me most is when we're talking about the warehouse, opposing the warehouse, or wanting the moratorium, which we're now working on right now, very another key thing that's happened recently about all this. We are working on a 60-day development moratorium directed by the city council. We're achieving stuff. So while we're seeing that, and people are saying, oh, you're NIMBY. You don't want this in your backyard. Okay. That's thrown at us now. It's getting travel. And it's typical of those sacrifice zones that they create where they put the oil industry, they put the uranium mine, they do the fracking. Those are sacrifice zones. Those people are sacrificing for the greater good of our industrial thirst for energy and parts of the Mother Earth. So in this case, we're giving NIMBY, and I'll say it on the radio for the first time. You heard it here. It's a trademark. I got a new NIMBY from South Tacoma. And what it is not in most backyards. In most backyards, you don't have a green economic zone. In most backyards, you don't have the capability in 15 minutes to get everything and anything you need, from a car made of hemp to a car that runs on hemp or an electric car, because it's all within 15 minutes of your walk. That's not in most backyards, John.
Yep, I hear you on that.
That's the new NIMBY. You call me a NIMBY? Yeah, I'm a NIMBY, because it's not in most backyards. But in South Tacoma, I think we're going to do this. It's happening. And the great, some of the great things we haven't talked about yet show what I think is important. We are not alone. While we're doing this in South Tacoma, we are part of a much greater community of small communities, small groups doing the same thing. And we have just now had our efforts with this groundwater update and economic green zone recognized at the national level. And we've been invited to work with the wonderful American Geophysical Union on one of their projects. So one of the big challenges we've had with, whether it is the fight against the various warehousing projects or it's this update of the ground code, one thing we've had is the city's always been, we don't know, we don't have too many experts, so where are we going to get the best science? So with this linkage with the Geophysical Union and a very special program that they have set up that we just got inducted into, we will now be linked in a linked with professionals, professional scientists, hydrologists, ground earth experts, as well as with a functional volunteer fellow director who help us work through the entire project process, and then local community members that will actually develop and run the process to fruition. So we are very excited about that. This is the part of the Earth Exchange program, and we're going to use earth and space science to really, really show modern practices as related to the project that we're developing.
So how did the connection with AGU, the American Geophysical Union, how did that connection come about?
Well, they have this program, Thriving Earth Exchange, and I can send you links to them
okay.
for your viewers to look at. And we submitted our proposal to them for their next cohort. They call it cohort. So every year about this time, they begin a new cohort of projects from around the country, actually around the world. And we became part of that new cohort of about 25 different groups all across the world, Jamaica, throughout the United States. And our project, the South Tacoma Economic Green Zone, is part of that development program.
So what is AGU going to do for South Tacoma?
Well, AGU through this program is going to enable us that have this. We're fortunate, I think, than most projects. We already have the existing science and what it supposedly restricts and what it does and doesn't do. So we already have a base for the project of updating it. And what's the smart things we currently say we give offsets for infiltration from, say, car crushing plant. Okay, well, that currently happens. First off, the car crushing plant isn't even supposed to be located in the groundwater protection district, but they got a waiver and a variance to be there. And at the same time, we gave them the authority to create their own infiltration point. So the purpose of not having them over the aquifer in that area is so we have never have a chance for their toxins from the cars or whatever to ever get in the groundwater. But not only do we let them go there, we let them infiltrate their system into the ground. Now, they say they have a system. Initially, the system didn't work, so they had to take all their on-site fluids someplace else and knew who knows where those went. We're working really hard because the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department is supposed to be conducting oversight and inspections and checking. That's why they got the waiver to do what they're doing, because they're supposed to be observed. So what's important is that by having the code, by knowing what is and isn't prohibited, by having a chance to bring all the local experts together, this Thriving Earth Exchange gives us a chance that we can bring our scientists. We can bring the best science. We can load. Here's our 3D model of the aquifer we've been asking you to do for a year. Here we just developed one. You can see every point of contamination. You can put these 3D viewers on, and you can float through the aquifer if you want to. For example, here's your satellite coverage that shows the minimalization of green space in South Tacoma over the last 50 years. This is how much we've lost. And with specificity, we can integrate our soon to be building out. We have one station now building an air monitoring system over the South Tacoma Economic Green Zone, because not only the base, the absolute foundation for the Economic Green Zone is below our feet. It's the aquifer, and everything that happens above the aquifer affects the aquifer. So that is the Economic Green Zone. It's expanding the bubble, not a restrictive bubble, but an opportunistic bubble, to create something that's not in most backyards, a green industrial area. where you can live, work, play, and get everything in 15 minutes from where you are in that area. I think that's a great vision. I absolutely think that it's a doable thing. We don't want to go back to 1988 when we wrote the code. And a lot of people want to do that with warehouses and all that crap. We want to go to 2088, to the future. And if our generation doesn't start it now, it will never, ever happen.
So one of the things that I'm seeing here, I think, and I'm just going to check this idea with you, is that tactically, let's say in the past, it was like, okay, voicing objections to city council, et cetera, et cetera. But you're playing the game within the system. You're getting the science together. You understand what the codes are. You understand what the districts are. And you're playing smart rather than just being angry or upset.
Well, the process of updating the code has kind of been put on pause for just a bit. And I'm just very disappointed about that. But when that process begins, I can see, I'm projecting, because that's what I do as an intelligence technician, the city saying, well, you know, we still need still got to find some scientists that understand hydrology. And who do we have around here that's, whatever expert that they don't have or can't find? So we want to try to head that off, like you said, have the team. And what actually kind of works out well, given the project timeline, okay, the project timeline that we're in, it actually works to our benefit for something that happened when our resolution passed. So when we had, in order to do the work plan, in order to update the code, the city council had to approve the work plan for the planning commission that authorized the city staff to review it. That was the whole part of 1 year of meetings and negotiations to get it before the city council. And so it was supposed to be voted at the beginning of June, and then we could have started work on the ground code, all right? However, because people are also concerned about development, it's like, oh, I know you've seen it. It tears my heart up every time. They've just finally paved the street in front of your house. All the potholes are clean. They're gone. You're like, your neighbors come over just to have coffee and look at your wonderful street. And then a week and a half later, here comes the cable company and they grind right down through the middle and put in a new cable. It all is patched, you know. So it's that same process when it comes to street repairs. It's something that's helpful here with this moratorium. Because what we said is, look, let's take a pause now. Let's put a moratorium on any development because there are things that we might identify through the ground code update when we bring best science into this that shows some impacts that we're not stopping now. So let's just pause, put a moratorium in place for new development of certain things like no new car crushing places, okay? No new underground storage tanks. Anything that's already in the code, you can't drop a permit right now, okay? You can't get vested because we might change it, but you can't do that for this moratorium. Likewise, there's concern about water infiltration. It is an element of the code update where we really need to get best science at the table. We've got a lot of good information, and we know it's an issue. We've got to maintain infiltration, good infiltration, into the aquifer. So any development of, say, over 50,000 square feet would also be placed into this moratorium. That doesn't impact you if you're building a home, doesn't impact you for some of the small-scale development. But anything that covers and creates too much of an impervious surface would also be put into a suspension or denied until the groundwater code is updated. So what the city staff said or what city council voted on is when they approved the work plan, they modified it and they threw in a kicker saying you have 60 days to come back to us with the language for a moratorium. There is no moratorium yet, okay? It has to be reviewed. There has to be public input. And again, it has to go to the council for them to vote. So they have to approve a moratorium. There's not one in place. Some people are already like, they stopped it. You can't even build a shack out back. No, you can do anything that you ever could do in South Tacoma. But we have 60 days to develop a moratorium. And then if the council approves it, it can only last 6 months.
Okay, so we'll stay.
So that 6 month time should really give us a chance to dig into the code and know what needs to be changed. And determine, is it 50,000 square feet? Is it only, is it 10,000? Is it bigger? So the things that need to be changed in the code, we still have to re-understand the code. We still have to get all the subject matter experts together. So we are working on that now. So we will be working on the moratorium language for the next less than 60 days now. We already had the first meeting on it at the planning committee. That will come first before anything more formal in the city with the groundwater code. However, for our project, that doesn't stop. So project's in here.
Yeah.
And it's a community science project. If you've wanted to get involved and really not just go to meetings or actually do something, you know?
Well, one of the things
Get emotional. Let me finish this. Why am I having my emotions? It's important. It's from my heart. We all have gone to protests. We've written letters. We held vigils. We've given our cash, our time. We've had our families break up because we might disagree with how we view the earth and they view the earth. There's very few times in my life where suddenly it all comes together and there's a chance to actually work collectively together, not depend on too many other things, but do it, work ourselves than right now. And this project, from the opportunity it presents us is just pretty amazing. Let me just go through sort of a timeline thing real quick. I won't take much on it. Okay.
Okay.
So right now we are getting ready to scope the project. We'll be scoping the project, to make sure we have all the input. It's about turning our community idea of an economic green zone into an actionable project. And we're bringing a scientist in to help us with that. So this is going to be involving some phone calls. We have community science fellows. These are the advisors. Okay. This is a Carl Sagan of hydrology kind of person. Okay. This is the retired geophysicist, whatever. I mean, these are the experts who volunteer their time to link up with us. So they're carefully selected by the AGU. From their membership, they have their senior scientific membership who volunteer to help projects like ours. We'll also be linking up with the project manager, another volunteer person who may not be a scientist, but understands how to create actionable projects and work groups to solutions. Scoping is going to be occurring like July, end of August. Then we get into matching. Matching is the real critical point because here's where in those phone calls, potential science fellows are listening to our story. They're working with us to see if they want to participate. And then the matching phase doesn't come until later, August, September. That's where we will they will parachute in, so to speak. Our experts will be on the ground, working here, being involved in meetings, hard and fast, working on the project. And that'll be August to September. And then the longer term project can be up to 18 months. And given the fact that we've got 2 years, basically, it's just perfect, John. It couldn't overlay so perfectly. We have to update the groundwater district that goes through June of 2023. And then the next phase after that is the final code, what makes it an economic green zone. So we've got a two-year project, two-year vision to the signs going up on South Tacoma Way or coming off I-5 into South Tacoma. You are entering the South Tacoma Economic Green Zone. I'll be there the day after the city council signs the ordinance, put the first sign.
So do you have any sense, are there other communities that have accomplished what you're talking about building an
economic? Absolutely. And at their website, please go visit the website link that we've provided. And you can see, you will be able to see very soon our project, because our project is just started the new cohort. So they haven't put up the cohort class for this year yet. But, and just in case you don't want to go look at the page later, it's all one word, thrivingearthexchange.org. That's thrivingearthexchange.org. And there you can see all the projects that are ongoing. And those projects, Edward, Puerto Rico, Virginia, Bahaba, Maine. I think I said that right. Bahaba. Boston. You got Boston. So, yeah. I mean, all across the country, close by ones, there's one in Clark County, Washington, assessing the impacts of volcanic rock mining. So the wide variety of topics. So please, we're pretty unique. Our topic's a little different, but still, we've got Ethiopia and the Horn of Africa. They're doing modeling for water availability, which they need. So this is worldwide where these efforts are happening.
So another subject here, kind of quickly, in a communication with you, you mentioned a coalition of affinity groups that have got grants over $10,000 at this point. So what is that coalition of affinity groups and where's the money coming from?
Well, I have to pause back because it's so much is happening. So there's information that hasn't quite been agreed upon. We try to work on consensus. That's very difficult for groups. It's not necessarily a majority rule. It's actually consensus.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anybody can throw up a block and we work until we figure out the block. But kind of the entity that's coming together, the New Earth Action Network, NEAN, Neen is green, is a horizontal linking of a variety of affinity groups. to include like the Bill of Rights Defense Committee Tacoma, because not only are our freedoms about civil liberties, you know, our environmental liberties are important as well. You know, the right to fresh air and fresh water, kind of, it's hard to deny that basic human need in any way, shape, or form. So Bill of Rights Defense Committee has a long history in Tacoma, is really helping us with our public document requests. I think I spoke earlier about trying to get all the facts, all the information. The Bill of Rights Defense Committee has had long history with the city of Tacoma obtaining documents and records, and they are really out front on this. We are like affinity group with South Tacoma Neighborhood Council. So the lowest level of representation in South Tacoma is the ones who put forward this review, this idea. So your own neighborhood councils, and there's openings. If you want, say you don't want to work on this, there's open seats on the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council. Every seat should be filled. I'm biased. I'm a past twice member. They need your help too. That's really helping your neighborhood. Importantly, we're working very closely with 350 Tacoma. Some real experts. They're really providing some Helencia work, helping us understand 501c3. I believe that the NEEN folks will eventually become a 501c3. We're working on that. All that stuff is like starting out. It's all the things you have to do to like just, I don't know. I'm personally, I don't like some of the reporting that nonprofits have to provide to the government. Never have, because I know how they've misused it. But anyway, for most people, it's like, oh, you have to have a 501c3. Like you got to have two pairs of socks. But we're going to do that because mostly that's for like some donational support as well as grant support. So some of the grants right now that are still working are coming from some external organizations, and they're not all have been like, nobody's running around with a box full of cash. All right. But it's pretty well lined up. So that will help us with a lot of the things like having a website, communications, having meetings. It's core level, basic organizing grant money. One portion of it is available and we are going to be using it. I think I spoke about our air monitoring network. We already have one sensor active now in South Tacoma that's specifically dedicated for collecting up-to-date real-time air quality conditions, very close to where the Bridge Industrial Site will be going. So we're trying to get our monitoring network up before they ever turn a spade of dirt. We think we will do that. I think the general, so people understand where that network's going to go because of the nature of some of the petty crime in Tacoma. We don't want our monitors stolen. So we're going to try to work with Tacoma Power and Water to put our monitors along the water flume trail in the pump houses. So we have all the pump houses in the aquifer. They all are in enclosed spaces with small buildings, and we just need a small corner to put a sensor on. And then we'll have the spine of South Tacoma will be a whole monitoring network right along there. I think people will be disinclined to call us biased because if it's polluting where the sensors are, it's really, really bad. So that's like a worst case spine because that's along the flume trail. There's a minor ridge that runs all along the flume trail. That's why it's the flume trail. They ran the water down along it. But it's got some nice trees that cover the path on both sides, but it does get a nice measure of the prevailing winds from the southwest. You wouldn't necessarily get a lot of winds from the I-5 corridor. So it wouldn't be skewing our air quality system. We want to sort of monitor the industrial area, which is to the west of the sensor line. Okay. It's between the housing area and the sensor line and the industrial area.
So that whole area down there, can a person like me just go down there and walk around, or is it fenced off? What's the deal?
Where?
Down at that whole area that's under proposal for development.
The whole area that Bridge Industries owns, the 180 acres, is fenced. It's private property. You can't walk on it. You shouldn't unless you get permission from the owner.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Understood. So you mentioned that one of the things that people can and should do, especially people who live in that neighborhood, is get active on the South Tacoma Citizens Commission. What's the
term? Council. The South Tacoma Neighborhood Council. If you've got problems with barking dogs, you got a problem with your trash pickup, you want to have a fundraiser, you want to make your street safer. I mean, one problem, and this is just my view, I hear all of the issues of crime and issues in the street. Those streets are ultimately ours. We have to have a presence out there. We have to be out there. We have to be part. Our neighborhood solutions can't come by dialing 311. Sometimes they have to come from us, and sometimes it's just our presence in there. The good drives out the not so good. So it's taking back our neighborhoods, maybe chunk by chunk. So the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council is actually broke down into all of the old neighborhoods. So Edison, Madison, Manitou, all of those positions, all of those sub-neighborhoods have a seat on the neighborhood council. So there's lots of opportunity for you to either be on the council or come to the meetings, participate, or volunteer. That can use help in so many different ways.
So I just got to say, so you activists down there really are providing amazing leadership, so that you've got a cogent, well-organized plan that is in action right now. You have a vision of where you're going, and right. and citizens in that area have got a train that they can hitch their car to and support the program.
And more importantly, the thing that always frustrates me, watch the city council meeting last night. The people, so many good souls take the time to come to a meeting and get 90 seconds to talk or whatever. And they can't really interchange too much. I always feel like they're not listened to. This project in place is somewhere where it's a consensus. We must listen to you, have to listen to you.
Yeah, right.
If your issue is gardens or what have you, it's all part of it. It has to be. It's a neighborhood. We're all on this planet together. Very few of us ever get away. I've already volunteered to go to Mars, by the way. I was in the running. I think I've been dropped out of the running now. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm content to stay here for the duration, as they used to say.
That's a great way to get volunteered, even if you're not in South Tacoma. All of the parts of the city have neighborhood councils. They all have leadership positions. They all have opportunities for you to get involved. Please do. Go to the meeting. You'll hear it. The city representatives go to the meeting. Your local representatives go to the meeting. That's a place to go listen and have your say. Separate from the city council that sometimes seems so, they might as well be drifting offshore someplace at time. I don't understand it. Although there is some good news. Can I throw in some good news?
Sure.
More good news? One member of the, she's going to hate that I said this. One member of the South Tacoma Neighborhood Council, one of those wonderful people who really helped make this all happen and is so involved every day, but she applied for the open vacant city council seat and she passed the initial cut. So last night, Heidi Stevens moved to the finals, so to speak. And what a great woman, a great leader, great person. I guess that's a political hat. No, it's not. She's not running yet. She volunteered. What a great volunteer for the city. I hope she gets picked.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with your endorsement, I hope she does too. So we're finishing up here, Tim. Any last words for folks listening in?
Yes, I want to revisit the moratorium issue real quick.
Okay.
Won't be very long about it because it's going to be the next hot topic.
Okay.
Man, it's going to be the NIMBY. They don't want it down there. They're trying to stop development. The business district, the business people, the developers, when this begins to work, because it has to work, it's got to go fast, 60 days. They're going to be all down on it. Why a moratorium? It's about time. Okay. It's about time to look at the incentives we give to business, the time for developing and new incentives for new projects. It's about looking for incentives for the residents, for the development that's coming. It's a way to plan for our future by developing a moratorium, to take a pause, to fuse and synchronize all of these efforts. We have a lot of great stuff. We just need a little bit of time to bring everybody to the table. It prevents a return to 1988, 34 years ago, when this place first became recognized as a Superfund site. And it takes us to plan for 2088, 66 years from now, when our grandkids will be walking down in a beautiful place. It creates just a performance-based time to exchange some ideas, to look at what we need to do to get everybody together before we go forward on this grand project to create not only and protect our aquifer, but an economic opportunity that doesn't exist anywhere else. That's not in most backyards. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tim. You and your cohorts are providing a model, I believe, that we can all learn from and watch in terms of not only this project, but all the other environmental issues that are going on the earth right now. So thanks so much for taking.
I really challenge people, go look at those other projects. Go look at the Thriving Earth Exchange webpage I gave you. Look at all the other projects. Tacoma's going to be on that page. South Tacoma's going to be on that page. You can be on that page with the work that everybody can do to help this happen. Thanks, John, for giving us a voice. It's so hard to get a voice anymore. Thank you.
Okay, great. Once again, we're staying tuned and we'll talk again, Tim. Have a great day.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. So thanks to Tim Smith for the background on a citizen project as daily gaining legs. We'll stay tuned. My take is that this South Tacoma project may serve as an inspiration and an education for other communities to follow and learn from, including those of us who are alarmed about the future of our climate. To encapsulate, their citizen volunteers are working hard and smart. What they are doing goes far beyond complaining to a city council for 90 seconds. They understand the system, are working within it, and they are making progress at a rapid pace. If we're going to create a livable world going into the future, they are modeling at least one way of getting there. Organizations mentioned in this conversation are in program notes at ccltacoma.org. You can contact me at john@ccltacoma.org for comments on this program or to make suggestions for future programs. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out. Bunch of good people, join up or find another organization if you aren't already attached to join your voice with others. This program, along with all other locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, can be found on the KTAH website under programming. So until we talk again, remember that all great victories were almost great defeats, and always live like the mountain is out. Take care now.